Praise the Lord. Cool, recorder's on. Beautiful day. Every day above ground is a good day. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it.
We will.
I want to talk this morning about our God of comfort. You know, in the Beatitudes, you know, there in Matthew 5, Jesus is talking, you know, and one of the things is, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And one thing I was thinking about as I was reading through that, just reading through the passage, it kind of presupposes that people are seeking the Lord. Do you ever think about that? Because you can not be following God, have something bad in your house, bad happen in your life, and mourn for the loss and never turn to God, and you end up getting bitter. It's when we turn to the Lord in the midst of our grief. It's when we turn to the Lord in the midst of our being poor in spirit. If it's in turn to the Lord when we're being persecuted or men reviling us or all of the things that happen. It's when we turn to the Lord in the middle of it that God shows who He is and comforts us and guides us. If we turn away from God in the middle of our turmoil, why would we expect God to take care of us? Deuteronomy 10, beginning with verse 17. Deuteronomy 10 kind of is a summary of the whole law. But starting at verse 17, it says, "For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality nor takes a bribe. He administers justice for the fatherless and the widow, and loves the stranger, giving him food and clothing. Therefore, love the stranger, for you are strangers in the land of Egypt. You shall fear the Lord your God, you shall serve him, and to him shall you hold fast and take oaths in his name. He is your praise, and he is your God, who has done these great and awesome things which your eyes have seen." God looks after the widow and the fatherless and the stranger. God looks after the outcasts. Part of serving God is serving others. God is the one who comforts us. God is the one who guides us. And we are called to comfort one another as God has comforted us. We are called to be like Him. And that's part of showing your love for God is how you show your love to other people. But it says God shows no partiality. Praise God, we do. God takes no bribe. You're like, well, what does that mean? God doesn't take a bribe. Well, you know, he's like, God, if you'll do this for me, then I'll do this, this, and this. And then God does this for you, and you don't do this, this, and this. Well, God wasn't surprised. He's the one who saw the end from the beginning, knew that. But God, we can't coerce or trick or bribe God into taking care of us. He shows His love for us. And not just for us. We've talked about this. Just read it. He administers justice for the fatherless and the widow and loves the stranger. Those who are separated from Him. Those who are far from away from Him. Those who are helpless, hopeless, outcast. God shows His love for that. And in being like the Lord, we should be doing the same thing. Are we showing our love for God by caring for other people? 2 Corinthians 1, beginning with verse 3, said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God." Stop right there for just a minute. Who comforts us in all our tribulation. It doesn't say He gets us out of it. It doesn't say it'll never happen. He says even when we go through things, He comforts us. Praise God. you know, the old country song, I beg your pardon, I never promised you a rose garden along with the sunshine. You got to see a little rain sometimes. Oh, look, rain. Difficulties occur in our lives. Yet God says He will be with us. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went into the fiery furnace. But they said, hear, O king, and know, our God is able to deliver us. But even if He doesn't, we will not bow. God is able to deliver us out of anything or through anything. But even if He doesn't, He's still God and worthy of praise. Even if He doesn't, He has shown who He is. He has shown His comfort. He has shown His grace. That confidence in knowing who God is, that this is a God who will comfort me and bring me through. And if He doesn't, to be absent with the bodies, to be present with the Lord. Woohoo! Praise God. The old song, the psalm says, weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. We will go through difficult things in this life. You can look back at your life. You've gone through difficult things. It's not a guess. It's a fact. We're in a lost and fallen world. We have all gone through difficult things. They may not always be the same thing, so in many cases they're similar, because we're all tested and tempted in similar ways. Maybe not the exact same thing, but we go through difficulties in our life, and God has brought us through it. I know God has brought you through it, because you're sitting here this morning. If God hadn't brought you through it, you wouldn't be. And the giftings and callings of God are without repentance. God does not change His mind on what He's called us to do based on our circumstances or based on our reactions to our circumstances. I was thinking about that this morning. I was thinking about how, you know, so many people are looking for the gifts of the Spirit. Remember the gifts of the Spirit? Words of knowledge, words of prophecy, gifts of healing, gifts of faith. We're looking for the gifts of the Spirit, gifts of tongues and interpretation of tongues. We're looking for the gifts of the Spirit. Let me tell you something. The gifts of the Spirit are wonderful. But the fruit of the Spirit shows what's happening in our hearts. The giftings and callings of God are without repentance. You can have words of knowledge. You can be praying for people and they get healed. You can be doing all the wonderful things that are part of the gift of the Spirit. And Jesus said, to the goats on my right hand, I will say, depart, I never knew you. And they say, Lord, in your name we cast out devils. In your name we healed the sick. And He says, depart from me, I never knew you. The giftings are different from the fruit. We should have the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Whether or not we see any of the gifts, if the fruit of the Spirit isn't in our life, it really doesn't matter. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they will cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. They will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. These signs follow a believer. Those same signs to those on his left, the goats, said, Lord, we did these things. And He said, I never knew you. We can believe without believing. We can believe without following. We can know in our head that there is a God up there who is pretty wonderful and it's good to have you on speed dial. But until we have a relationship, we're no different than those seven sons of Sceva. I had you telling that devil, I command you to come out in the name of Jesus who Paul preaches. Knowing in our head that it's real, without knowing in our hearts that it's real. Let the fruit of the Spirit spring up in our lives. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Let God's nature come through our lives. How do we do that? We do that by recognizing that God is at work in us. And He's drawing us to a closer and deeper walk each and every day. That God of comfort that we talk about, He doesn't comfort us just so we can be good. What's it say on the front of your bulletin? God does not comfort us to make us comfortable, but to make us comforters. God comforts us so that we can show that comfort to other people. We just read in Deuteronomy that God is the one who looks after the widows and the fatherless and the strangers, that looks after the outcast, the downtrodden, those who are hopeless, those who have no strength, those who have nowhere to turn. God is the one who takes care of them. Having been in a foreign jail where I couldn't really communicate with the guards, I couldn't communicate with the consulate, I couldn't communicate with anybody but God, I found out when you can't rely on anyone but God, God is really the only one you should be relying on anyway. But I'd been in ministry for a couple of years before I got that lesson. Praise God. Still learning as I grow. Praise God. Getting back to 1 Corinthians 3. Or 1 Corinthians 1, continuing on with verse 5. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Now, if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. Stop right there for a second. Paul says, the things we're going through it as an example that you will see that God comforts us. So when you're going through the same thing, not only can we help comfort you, but we can also encourage you that the God who brought me through it will bring you through it as well. God of comfort doesn't love me any more than He loves anybody else. Praise God, He doesn't love me any less than He loves anybody else either. He loves us so much. And as He comforts me, as He comforts you, He does it for the purpose that you can show that comfort and show that love and show that grace to somebody else. Because everybody is going through things. Everybody is facing difficulties. Everybody is having issues. Praise God. Verse 7. And our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so also will you partake in the consolation. Paul says, God has shown me, has revealed it to me, has brought me through it, and because of that, I have the confidence to say, He's going to bring you through it too. We have this confidence. We have this earnest expectation that the God who comforted me, the God who brought me through my difficulties, wants to bring everybody else through their difficulties as well. Will you seek God? Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are those who mourn while seeking God rather than turning away, for they shall be comforted. God wants to use us. We talked about this before, that God holds us up as trophies of His grace, as examples of the work He wants to do in people's lives. And I said, you think you're messed up? Look what I did with this one. If I can fix this one, I can do anything with you. I tell people when they say, I can't come to church, lightning will strike me. No. I'm pretty sure if lightning didn't strike me when I set foot back in a church, you're probably all set. I can remember we got him on tape somewhere. Rich, when he was preaching one day, and I just had to start laughing. He said, "I praise God, I don't have a testimony like pastors." Amen, brother. Me too. Things I went through, I wouldn't want anybody to have to go through. But I can tell you that a God, the God who brought me through it, can bring you through anything. Romans 15, beginning with verse 1, says, "We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak, not to please ourselves." We'll stop right there for a minute. In King James, it says the infirmities of the weak. The word that comes out of scruples actually means weakness. So maybe that ought to say, we who are strong ought to bear with the weakness of the weak. Because remember, I'm a big semantics guy. I think words have meaning. So when I see the scruples, well, what do scruples mean in your mind? scruples are, you know, the standards that people are willing to live by. You know, their value system. And that just doesn't seem to fit with the meaning of the verse. So I wonder if that's not... I wonder if that's the best translation of the word. On the other hand, I don't speak 2,000-year-old Greek, so I can't affirm that. But just wanted to do a little side note right there. We who are strong ought to bear with the failures, for lack of a better word, of the weak, and not to please ourselves. We should be more concerned about other people than ourselves. You know why? God's taking care of me. Heaven is not my home, or heaven is not my goal. Heaven is my destination. God is taking care of me. And until God changes my heart, until God reveals things, until God, you know, shines that spotlight, turns up the heat, whatever, to get the impurities to come to the surface so I can recognize them, I should be more concerned with reaching out to touch and encourage other people. Not to judge them, not to tear them down. You know, I'm not pointing out the speck in somebody else's eye and ignoring the beam in mine. But I can reach out and encourage other people. Let me tell you about this God. He is so wonderful. And He can even fix the most messed up person I know. Me. Praise God. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good and leading to edification. Encouraging people. Lifting them up. Telling them, showing them that you care about them. Not just using words, but showing them that you care about them, that you're concerned about them. Leading to edification, the end of verse 2. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. We can look in the Scriptures and see where the most wicked king in history, according to the Bible. So at the time the Bible was written, the most wicked king in history, or at least the Old Testament, we'll go that far. When the Old Testament was written, the most wicked king was Manasseh. That means he's wickeder than Belshazzar. He's wickeder than Nebuchadnezzar. He's wickeder than Sennacherib. He's wickeder than Pharaoh. The most wicked king was Manasseh. And at the end of his life, he repented and turned and followed after God. Praise God! Who do you know that's more wicked than that? Who do you know that's more wicked than these kings we just mentioned? The most wicked person turned around. God is merciful. God, it's not His desire that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Who do we know that is more wicked than that? And yet God reached out and God touched him and He turned his heart and He turned his life around. Praise God. You also know he's in the lineage of Jesus, right? That wicked king is in the lineage of Jesus. Verse 4 again. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through patience and the comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Why are these things in there? To give us a hope, to give us an example, to point us, to make us think, and to show us who God is. Verse 5, now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another, according to Christ Jesus. Are we like-minded toward one another, holding out the hope that God will reach into their hearts? Do we look at the people around us and hold out a hope that God wants to do wonderful things in them? Do we have that comfort that as God has worked in my life, as He's worked in your life, He is not willing that any should perish. He wants people to come to Him. He designed us for fellowship with Him. He also gave us the choice. But no one can come to us. No one can come to Jesus except the Father draw them. Are we crying out, Father, draw them? not just them. Father, draw Bill, who I work with. Father, draw Sherry. Father, draw list. Come up with a list. As God puts people on your heart, God, draw Roger. As God puts people on your heart, are we lifting them up? Guilty of not doing it, okay? Not pointing any fingers. I'm saying, if we recognize that God comforts us for the purpose that we might comfort one another. That God is working in us for the purpose that we might be examples to the people around us. God is working through us for the purpose that we might be laborers in the harvest. Praise God. Verse 6, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore receive one another just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Receive one another. Reach out to people just as Christ did to us. Reach out and encourage. Reach out and comfort. Reach out and just be a light to them. 2 Corinthians 7, beginning with verse 2. Paul says, open your hearts to us. We have wronged no one. We have corrupted no one. We have cheated no one. I do not say this to condemn, for I have said before that you are in our hearts to die together and to live together. God is great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my boasting on your behalf. I am filled with comfort. I am exceedingly joyful in all of our tribulation. Paul says, remember, we love you. Remember, we love you. And the things that we go through just goes to show you how much we love you. For indeed, when we came to Macedonia, our bodies had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Outside were conflicts, inside were fears. Nevertheless, God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus. Excuse me. And not only by his coming, but also by the consolation with which he was comforted in you. When he told us of your earnest desire, your mourning, your zeal for me, so that I rejoiced even more. Even that good news that Titus, on his way to Macedonia, on his way to Paul, stopped through Corinth, and the Corinthians said that they were praying for Paul. Corinthians said that they loved Paul. And he carried that on, and it was an encouragement, a comfort to Paul. In the midst of the conflict, in the midst of the trouble, we were troubled on every side, verse 5. Outside were conflicts, inside were fears. Nevertheless, God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus. You know, as we go and interact with other people, we can be the comfort of God in somebody else's life. We just thought we were saying hi. We just thought we were checking up on them. And it happened to be just what they needed when they needed it, because God is the one who's directing our steps. That God of comfort who comforts us, as the quote says, not to make us comfortable, but to make us comforters. God comforts us so that we don't get distracted by our own issues. God comforts us so that we don't be made ineffective by the things going on in our lives. We don't just ball up in a fetal position on the floor and can't do anything. God is the one who gives us comfort. Before I get to the last passage of Scripture, I was in the middle of a bit of a quiet time this week, and you know, just reflecting on some of the things that had gone on in my life and things I was currently facing, currently happening, and I realized that sometimes we can't share with other people, because when you try to put what you're feeling in words, it comes out sounding flat, it comes out sounding trivial. But we can share it with the Lord, and God comforts us in the midst of it. And I recognize the danger in that of sometimes trying to be a light and to try and be a comfort and to try to reach out to other people. That maybe as they're pouring out their heart, because I don't have the shared memory, or I don't have the shared background, or I'm not coming from the point they're coming from, when it comes out in words, it doesn't have the impact. Praise God, He is the one who comforts us and He is the one who heals us. As we face things in our lives, sometimes we are overwhelmed with emotion, but when you try to put it in words, it just doesn't seem to make sense, or it doesn't seem like that big a deal. But because of hurts in our past, or things that we haven't yet dealt with, or haven't yet given to the Lord, it can come out with such greater emotion than the words can convey. Most of us, if not all of us, have lost pets. As you try to share that with somebody who hasn't, or somebody who's not really into pets. I have a turtle that lives 100 years. I can't relate to, you know. Or I have a parrot that lives 100 years. The parrot's going to outlive me, you know. Can't really relate. And yet, the grief that we feel is real. And the torment in our spirit, the torment in our heart is real. And I'm not saying that's what this was. This was something completely different. But I'm saying I've seen how people try to share their heartbrokenness over having lost the pet. And I've seen other people just get the kind of glazed look on their face. Like, oh, that's nice. You know? Or I'm sorry you're going through that. But it's just a shallow thing. And until God comforts us, until we recognize the comfort of God, we can't share that comfort with other people. Until we recognize that there is much, much more going on than the words can possibly convey, then how can we share the comfort of God with somebody? If in our own minds, in our own understanding, it's a relatively simple thing. You know, whether it's the book we've got downstairs, men are like waffles, women are like spaghetti, whether it's men are from Mars, women are from Venus, the different things we're talking about, how our brains work, and you know, trying to communicate and trying to get things done. Another quote is men use words to express facts, women use words to express feelings. You know, may or may not be true. That's some of the quotes that come out. We process things differently based on the way our brains are wired, but we also process things differently based on our history. The things we face, the way we interpret things, is based on what's brought us up to this point. And if we don't have a shared history, if we don't have a shared understanding of what things really mean, it's very difficult to communicate. So sometimes we need to just shut our mouth and let God fill it. Shut our mouth and let God minister in the circumstances. Sometimes sitting with somebody and being quiet is the most loving thing you can do. At least in my case, because I can open my mouth and really mess things up. But I need God to teach me how to comfort the people around me. Final passage of Scripture, Psalm 86, beginning with verse 15. Says, "But you, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in mercy and truth. O turn to me and have mercy on me. Give your strength to your servant and save the son of your maidservant. Show me a sign for good, that those who hate me may see it and be ashamed, because you, Lord, have helped me and comforted me. Lord, bring me through it, that it can be a sign. Bring me through it, that it can be a blessing. Bring me through it, that it can be a testimony. God, you are my comfort." The Lord is our comfort and our strength, the very present help in time of trouble. We ever face times of trouble? Praise God for that very present help. The God of comfort is watching over us and guiding us. But as the quote by John Henry Jewett says, God does not comfort us to make us comfortable, but to make us comforters. The things that God does in it, He does for the purpose of showing His love to people through us. Praise God. Father, we do thank You, Lord. We thank You, Father, that You are the God who comforts us, the God who heals us, the God who leads us, the God who directs us. We thank You, Father, that You are gracious toward us, that Your ways, Lord, are always right. Father, we thank You for that. We thank You, Lord, for the encouragement, Father, just to recognize as You have comforted us, that You've called us to comfort others, that You have been a blessing in our lives, Father, that You call us to be a blessing in others, that You are the one, Father, who looks after the fatherless and the widows and the strangers. Lord, the outcast. And You do not turn Your back on us, Father. You do not turn away from us. So, Father, we thank You for it. We ask, Lord, that You would lead us and keep us, Father. We give You praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.